Chapter 17. Still in the rain, we made our way up the mountain like two ants on a giant's belly. The top too far to see. The climb wasn't so difficult, not for me anyway. But Brenoir struggled to keep up.
Slow down! I don't have those long legs like yours.
Brenoir huffed from behind me. Like I said, dwarfs would rather dig than climb. Digging just wasn't prudent at this time. And I'd already spent an hour convincing Brenoir that climbing was better than trying to find another secret tunnel. Of course, he seemed to inspect every rock along the way.
I'm going as slow as I can,
I yelled back.
Well, don't go too slow.
But you said to slow down. Now you don't want me to go too slow?
Below me, I could see Brenoir looking below him. It was a long way down to where we started. A simple slip would be the beginning of a long, painful tumble.
Just keep moving,
he grumbled. Like I said, it wasn't the worst climb for me, but I had Brenoir tethered by rope to me just in case. He didn't like that, I could tell. But he didn't protest either.
Just tug if you want me to
keep moving.
Up I went. 2 days. That seemed like plenty of time to make it up the mountain and back. It would only take a half day to make it to the top, and less than that to make it back down. I couldn't imagine retrieving a thunderstone would take that much longer, except for the issue with the Guardian, whatever that might be. And why Korzan couldn't handle it, but could handle me, I didn't understand. Magic items, for the most part, could be used by good or evil. There was something he wasn't telling me, so it must be something I could do that he could not. Good for me. I clutched the edge with my dragon-clawed hand and pulled myself up to the next ridge. Brenoir's stubby fingers made it to the lip, and I pulled him up by the back of his armor. He rolled up to one knee, wiped the rainwater from his eyes, and combed out his beard with his fingers. He shook his head at me before turning away. That pixie had gotten to him. The valley below us was a wondrous sight of black forest underneath the lantern of the moonlight. Even with all the rain, it was still something to behold. So peaceful. One wouldn't expect any danger up here.
Look,
Brenoir said, untying the rope around his waist. The ledge we were on was moss-covered, with tracks that looked like an old road.
Better than climbing,
I said, as I readied my bow. Something caught my eye. In the distant moonlight, I saw something sail across the sky, flapping its wings like a bird of prey before disappearing into the night. But all I could think of was the winged ape. Still, it was hard to tell in all the darkness and rain, even with my keen eyes. For all I knew, it was just a really big bat. The trail we took was steep, winding around the mountain like a giant snake. I wondered what had carved it from the mountain and why it didn't go all the way to the bottom. Oddly, it had started at the top. Perhaps they, whoever they were, had started at the top but never made it to the bottom. I'd seen stranger things. The cold rain pelted my face like tiny icicles, and the whipping wind made my bones feel brittle. It was moments like this that I missed the city, so soft and warm and amenable. And the women. Oh, how I missed their soft lips and compliments. It had been a while since I'd seen one. But fortunately, many had burned a lasting impression in my memory. It was funny how my thoughts drifted to women at times like this. The more I walked, the more my leg ached, until I finally had to stop and take a seat. The moonlight faded as it passed to the other side of the mountain, leaving us alone in the pitch black. It was like a cold, windy tomb. Alone on the mountain, biting and unforgiving. I longed for the sun already. But that was hours away, and we still had miles to go, at least. I dipped my head down and closed my eyes, trying to think of the sunnier times.
You should rest, Dragon,
Brenwar said.
It's been a long time, and your limp is getting worse.
Is it that noticeable?
It is to me. How about I take a look at it?
I could hear the sound of concern in Brenwar's voice, and the truth was, my leg should have healed up by now. But every so often you got a stubborn wound, one that festered and throbbed like a pulsating cyst. Still, pain was a steady reminder of what the Blue Razor was going through. I could live with a little pain. I felt guilty for even stopping. I closed my eyes again. I just needed a little rest. I brushed my mane of hair away from my face.
Just give me a few minutes, Brenwar. I'll be fine.
A minute couldn't have passed before everything fell quiet. The wind stopped. The rain as well. I felt the hairs on my neck standing.
That's odd.
Wiping my soaked hair from my face, I opened my eyes. We've been on top of many mountains, but I've never known the wind to stop before.
Me neither,
Brenwar said, extending his arm. I groaned all the way back up to my feet. So far as I knew, nothing could stop the wind. Sure, controlling the wind was one thing, but stopping it was another. Of course, the wind could stop itself, I suppose. Father always said the earth, wind, water, and fire all had minds of their own.
Follow me,
I said. I churned up the trail, every step as heavy as the last, determined to make it to the top by dawn. As suddenly as the wind had stopped, it returned, brisk, more so than before. It gave me a little relief, as my gut told me something was wrong. After all, we were heading to a graveyard, and there was no telling what kind of spirits and forces resided there. Cold rain splattering my face, I pushed on. At last we crested the top, and the rays of the rising sun caught my eyes. The warmth on my face invigorated me.
Glad that's over,
I said, putting my hands on my hips.
Should be easier going down than coming up.
I slapped Brenwar on the shoulder.
Let's take a look around, shall we?
The mountaintop was a grassy plain that stretched as far as I could see. In the distance, I saw the greater mountain ranges of Nalzenbor and their snow-capped peaks. The grass and weeds were tall, the ground barren in some places. And I had to walk a while until the first tombstone appeared. It was tall and marked in a language I could not read. And I could read a lot of languages, but I'd never seen anything like this before.
Can you make anything of this?
I said. Brenwar squinted at the headstone when he snarled.
Giants!
I took a closer look.
No, it's not giants. Too small. And just because you can't read it doesn't mean it's giants.
As we walked, the tombstones appeared in more clusters. Some cracked, others broken. Many almost completely covered in moss and roots. One stone marking in particular was 3 stories tall and half as wide. I couldn't imagine how such a large stone made its way to the top of the mountain. But giants could account for that.
Told you, giants,
Brenwar said. I shrugged. If there were any giants, They'd have to have died long ago. But I didn't care about that. I just wanted to find the tomb that held the Thunderstone. I rubbed the back of my head. I didn't see why it should be so difficult for Korzan to come up here and get it himself.
Find anything?
No,
Renoir said. Well, you should be able to find a tomb anywhere beneath this cemetery. For an hour, Renoir had stomped over the grass, the ground, and stone sarcophagi. And I would suspect he'd have found something by now, but he hadn't. So many graves, hundreds of them at least. Some small enough for a halfling. Others big enough for ogres. He glared at me, hoisted his hammer over his head, and brought it down.
No!
I yelled. Too late. Renoir's hammer smashed into the shell of a stone sarcophagus. It sounded like the earth split open.
Are you trying to wake the dead? You gone mad?
There's a giant in there.
A dead giant, maybe, Renoir. Why did you do that?
Chest out, warhammer hanging in his grip. He laughed at me.
Take a look for yourself.
There it was. A staircase leading down.
Well done,
I said.
Never doubt a dwarf.
I pinched my nose.
Ew, that's bad.
I looked at him and said,
you first, then.
He looked at me. I said,
well, it's your discovery.
Certain.
A cloud of dark smoke crept out from within. A gray fog above fell over us. Both of us coughed as we stepped back. That eerie feeling returned as the wind died again. Death. Something was shuffling up the stairs, and it wasn't alone.